This episode is brought to you by DorksideToys.com. For the latest Star Wars action figures, Marvel, G.I. Joe, and more, visit DorksideToys.com.
A small rebel force has penetrated the shield and landed on Endor.
This is where the fun begins.
A long time ago, in a galaxy far, far away.
This is Rebel Force Radio.
Your source for the Force.
Star Wars news and commentary.
With Jason Swank and Jimmy Mack.
I've seen Star Wars 500 times.
Star Wars number one.
This station is now the ultimate power in the universe. I suggest we use it.
Now it's time for Rebel Force Radio.
We would be honored if you would join us.
Man, I don't know what it is, but any time we do a year in review show, we ruffle some feathers.
Say it ain't so.
I don't know why. And you know what? Usually the source of the disgruntlement comes from that Newman guy.
Yeah, giving people an F if they like half, all that good stuff. I'm with you.
Oh, that's it. You bring back some real old stuff. Hey, Star Wars fans, Jimmy Mack here, and welcome to Rebel Force Radio for Friday, January 17th, 2014. Yes, a new year, a new show, and we're back. We're back with the regular weekly RFR for the new year. But unfortunately, our little buddy Jason Swank can't be here with us this week. You may have noticed last week we did not have a regular weekly show as Jason was fulfilling his daytime job duties as one of the top marketing minds on the Cleveland theater scene. Jason was actually on assignment in New York City. New York City!
Oh, you took my line.
Let me do it again. Jason was on assignment in New York City.
New York City!
Now that's tight. And he was out there previewing some of the biggest live theater acts and Broadway plays. And while Jason was out there hobnobbing around the Big Apple, it appears he contracted the flu. He caught the bug. He's got the bug. So he needs one more week off from the show to get himself back into shape. And, of course, we send him well wishes and positive vibes via the Force. So get well soon, Jason. And while Jason will be back in the saddle next week for what promises to be a huge show, I'm not saying this week's show isn't going to be huge. As a matter of fact, we have a big honking show planned for you this week with a big honking guest host. You know him from Shot Glass Digital's Geek Out Loud and Know What I'm Saying from the lovely state of Georgia. Welcome, Mr. Steve Glosson.
Now, if you get con crud when you go somewhere like Star Wars Celebration or Comic-Con, what is it called when you're like at a Broadway show and you get the flu?
I don't know, but for some reason, Jason found a way to blame me for it.
Swank can never take responsibility for his own stuff.
No. He said he lost his voice and everything. And I know as of early this week, he had what he said was 50% of his voice. So we don't want to push it. We don't want to push it because this is going to be a busy year for Star Wars. And I want my buddy all rested up and ready to rock and roll when it really starts hopping. But, you know, we've come out of the gate here with a lot of interesting news and rumors, and we'll be getting to all that this week. As I mentioned, some feathers were ruffled, as we typically have happened during our year in review shows. And we'll be addressing that later on in the show, as well as all kind of other cool Star Wars stuff. But first, Steve, I want to know, and I asked this to Paul Bateman on Star Wars influences, but a lot of times you get some downtime during the holidays and you can get caught up on Star Wars or just sort of immerse yourself in some sort of Star Wars activity. So what did you do Star Wars related over the holidays?
Well, first off, let me just go back real quick and say it's an honor to be on. And though Swank is tiny, it's hard to fill his shoes. So I appreciate you having me. I have the same problem that you have, that Jason has, that any Star Wars fan who are fans like we are have. And that's when Christmas rolls around and you say, yeah, just get me something Star Wars. Everyone looks and says, well, you have everything already. And so Christmas was kind of Star Wars free for me, but and I've wanted to do this for several years. I finally, on New Year's Eve, queued up the Blu-ray player at 10:02 and 42 seconds, and counted down to watch the Death Star explode at midnight rolling into New Year's. And it was everything I hoped it would be. I had on my comfortable pants, sitting in my comfortable chair, watching one of the most comfortable movies in the world to me, Star Wars.
So, did it time out for you? Did it work?
It did. It was great. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I've had it happen some years where I put the picture in picture and I have the local countdown going on as the film is happening. And boy, nothing's better than when you get the 3, 2, 1, boom, and it happens.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, this year I didn't get the chance to experience that. Not at all.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I mean, can you believe it? I'm the guy who spearheads the whole blow up the Death Star at midnight activity. And I couldn't do it. It was a weird situation. Typically, we stay home on New Year's Eve. We have young children. And when they were babies, especially, it's like you can't find a babysitter on New Year's Eve and you can't go out and enjoy yourself. So we're just like, you know what? It's amateur night anyway. And so we'll just leave it to the partiers, and we'll stay home, and we develop some traditions. And one of the traditions was queuing up Star Wars A New Hope right to the moment where you hit play, and it takes you to midnight, and the Death Star blows up at midnight. Everyone's heard me talk about it.
Yeah, now, Jim, we've all heard you talk about it. We've heard you give the instructions. They've been up on Shot Glass Digital. But I've never heard you explain how you came to discover this.
Boy, you know, that's a good question. It was just, I don't think that it was a discovery as much as it was just an idea where I thought, well, I'm going to try to do that.
So you sat down with a VHS, I'm assuming.
No, I believe I did. I believe that, was there DVDs around? Maybe it was VHS at first.
The first Star Wars DVD came out in 2004 when the original trilogy was first released.
Well, that could have been when I started the tradition. Okay. My first son was born in 99.
So, see, I guess your kids would have been kind of young in 04. So.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, like I said, we've not gone out. The last time I went out on New Year's Eve, and this will really blow your socks off, I went with Wendy and her mom and her sister and her cousin to go see Titanic.
Wow.
In the movie theaters. So that'd be what, winter 96?
I was going to say, it was a little later. And that wasn't that 97, 98-ish?
Maybe.
Never let go, Jim.
No. And I'm definitely not the king of the world. I wasn't that night either. Because it's like, you know, we were in the theater when the clock struck midnight. And so you just like, you know, you'd hear people start rustle around a little and you'd hear maybe a voice going, "Happy New Year." It was the most anticlimactic celebration of all time, you know.
So the Titanic sank at midnight.
Maybe that's what did it. Maybe I thought, wow, the Titanic sank at midnight. What can I do better than that? I came up with something better. But I couldn't partake in my own tradition this year because my mom decided, because she made the decision to have the Christmas celebration at her house. So the kids get the presents and hang out with grandma and grandpa, do the over the hill and through the woods routine. She decided to do it on New Year's Eve.
Oh, what?
Yeah, because my uncle, her brother, he wasn't going to make it into town until after Christmas. So that's why the decision was made. However, I did take the DVD with me. And I was still, I was going to put it on the TV there. Mm. And it was about maybe 20 to 10, and I can't remember who said something to me. Maybe it was my brother Bill. Maybe it was one of my boys. But they said, "Well, aren't you gonna start it?" And my sister goes, "What is this? What is it? Some kind of nerd thing you're gonna do?"
No.
And she psyched me out.
Oh.
She psyched me out. You know, I'm the type of guy, I always say it loud, say it proud. You're a Star Wars fan. But I just felt this. I mean, it was like staring a Wampa in the face, you know? Yeah. It was one of those sort of things where I'm just like, well, I could fight the Wampa.
Yeah.
You know, I could try to chop the arm off the Wampa and run the hell out of there.
But you heard it here, folks. Jimmy Mack's sister is a big Wampa.
She's a wampa. So, the I just said, well, I'm going to sit here and consider then what kind of lambasting I'm going to be taking here for the next 2 hours should I dare to put on this this film. And the clock kept ticking, and I missed the opportunity. And you know,
well, what's crazy to me is the folks I work with. They're like, "Well, what'd you do?" And New Year's Eve has never been a big deal for me or anything. It's just it never really has. And I'm like, well, I just sat at home and put on Star Wars and, you know, piddled around and had Star Wars on. And at midnight, the Death Star blew up. And they just kind of tilt their head the way a dog does when it hears a funny sound. And they're like, you did what? I'm like, I watched Star Wars. It was awesome. It was probably one of the best New Year's Eves I've ever had.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I'm glad you were able to have fun. And maybe that'll become a tradition in your house. As I know, I've been spreading the word about this for years now. And a lot of people have contacted me and said, you know, they really enjoy doing it. And we've done live chat rooms in the past and everything like that. And I'll get back on the saddle again next year. I feel a little bit of emptiness as we start off the year 2014 without blowing up the Death Star at midnight. So I don't know how I'm going to make good on that. It's going to be sort of like doing the Star Wars rosary where I have to watch A New Hope 3 times and I'll have to watch Empire a couple times and then go back to A New Hope 3 times. And, you know,
that's your penance.
Yeah, I'm going to have to... this is essentially Star Wars confession for me. I'm in the confessional booth right now. It looks, oddly enough, just like Vader's meditation chamber.
Well, I was going to say, maybe we could get James Earl Jones to just kind of do a line, apology accepted, Jimmy, back. You know? Well, you know, there is one holiday coming up, and you know, Swank's always plugging his birthday on the podcast, so I'll plug mine. January 25th is coming up, and that's my birthday. And I've got no, it's a Saturday this year. I've got no work. I've got nothing going on that day. And my plan is to marathon as many of the movies in the day as I can.
Have you ever, early happy birthday greetings and well wishes to you for sure. But have you ever sat down and tried to fit it in all six films in one sitting? Have you ever tried to do that?
When I was a youth pastor, we had a Saturday. It was on the 25th anniversary, I think, of A New Hope. And I think that fell on a Saturday, if I'm not mistaken, or it was somewhere in that weekend or so, that week of that anniversary. And I told my kids, I said, guys, here's what's going to be happening. I'm going to come. We had a great room that was big and could be dark. And I had a huge screen in there and a projector and a great surround sound kind of thing going. And I said, I'm going to come up here and watch Star Wars all day. You're welcome to come with me if you want. And we started at 10 a.m. with The Phantom Menace. And as I sat down, we pulled a couch into the room and everything. And as I sat down, I'm like, this is going to be probably harder to do than I think it is. And as far as just sitting through them all. And about 10 minutes into The Phantom, actually, as soon as the opening crawl started rolling, I'm like, nope, this is going to be just fine. And we actually did it. We took a break for supper and lunch and that sort of thing. So it kind of stretched that out. And it was about 1 o'clock in the morning before we got finished with all six. But we got through them all.
You did it all.
Mm-hmm.
In one sitting.
Yep.
I've never done that.
It's the only time I've ever done it, but it was, you know, it's one of those things. I'm like, well, I can scratch that off the old bucket list.
Yeah, yeah. I got to do that someday. If somebody would just give me a few minutes to myself,
yeah.
I could maybe actually hit play on one of these. What are you going to do, some kind of nerd thing? Like, really? Really? You know me, right? I'm your brother. You know me.
You're a nerd.
So, you know, so we ended up watching Honeymooners reruns until the clock struck midnight. I kid you not.
Oh, well, let me tell you who'd be excited about that. Jason Swank would love that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. All me and Jason have talked about our love of the Honeymooners and Jackie Gleason. I mean, we've talked. And, of course, the Star Wars connection being Art Carney was featured in the Star Wars holiday special. So, see, it all kind of comes together.
There you go.
You nerd.
So, but I really made a goal of reading J.W. Rinzler's Making of Return of the Jedi over the holidays.
Oh, wow.
And for as much time as I committed to reading that book, I still didn't finish it. I'm about 2/3 of the way through. And me and Paul Bateman talk a little bit about it on Star Wars Influences, which was released earlier this week, episode number 4. And we'll be talking more about it on that particular show. But wow, is that a good book? Because there's so much about Return of the Jedi I just did not know. So much behind-the-scenes stuff that's very interesting. The relationship Richard Marquand had with Lucas and the crew and the actors was all a mystery to me until I read this book, and it's eye-opening. It's
well, the only person I've ever heard talk about much behind the scenes, other than, you know, like the making of stuff we got, which was always light on Jedi. The only person I've ever heard talk about any behind-the-scenes stuff was Dave Prowse.
Yeah, yeah, and he doesn't
have the fondness of words, or, you know, it was a bad time for him due to some controversy that went down. But and that's unfortunate because we love Dave Prowse, but, you know, and so I can't wait. All three of those books, the Rensler making of books, I've got to get my hands on. I still haven't, and they're on my Amazon wish list, and I can't wait to get my hands on them and just devour them. I heard so much good about them, and looking forward to getting my hands on them and reading them for myself.
Oh, fantastic. Like I said, eye-opening. They're illuminating. You'll learn so much about what went on behind the scenes of the making of these films. Excuse me, I have to rehydrate. You got to do that. You got to drink water when you're doing a Star Wars podcast. It's very important to rehydrate because, I mean, let's face it, in the Star Wars galaxy, you know, they don't take water for granted. They're trying to pull it out of the freaking sky with machines.
Moisture evaporator.
Moisture evaporator. So I had a lot of fun reading that, and I did get to work on my Star Wars collection. And when I say work, it is work. When you've been collecting Star Wars and Star Wars action figures, other memorabilia over the course of 35-plus years, you got a lot of stuff. So I'm going through a lot of my old displays and action figures that I never was actually able to put on display, and I'm trying to figure out how to make it all work.
Oh, and Jim, let me just say, it's ridiculous what you have. The other Star Wars thing I did over the holidays is I treated myself to purchasing The Force Within Us, Chris Mock's follow-up to The Force Among Us.
Yes.
And, you know, you do the tour of your Star Wars room in there, and I was just like, this is madness. I'm like, I thought I had a Star Wars room.
Well, you know, it's a blessing and a curse at the same time, because like I said, it's a lot to maintain and a lot to dust, and the dust does get thick in there from time to time. So, but you know, it's just fun. It's fun to share with the kids. It's fun to say it loud, say it proud, go in there and just immerse yourself into Star Wars. And I can't wait for the day you're in Chicago and I can march you in there and we can hang out in there and have a lot of laughs. So, so that was fun. And speaking of coming to Chicago, a lot of people may or may not know, but Clone Wars actor Darth Maul voice Sam Witwer is from the Chicago area. Me and him actually grew up about 10 minutes away from each other. We didn't know each other growing up, but Sam was back in town. He was visiting family, and he was at his dad's house. And so I got to hang out with Sam a couple Saturdays ago, and that was a blast. We hung out at his parents' house in the basement. He played some music for me he'd been working on. We talked a lot about season 5 of Being Human and about the Clone Wars, and he saw the Yoda arc. I don't know if I can say that. Well, whoops, I already did. But, you know, I didn't want him to reveal much to me or anything like that. And we hung out and we actually recorded something that a very cool little Star Wars project that will be you'll know about that in about a week and a half, maybe 2 weeks from now. And that was a lot of fun to actually be with Sam and record him and watch him do what he does so well, because he is a master at his craft. He's a great actor. And Being Human is on the Sci-Fi Channel now. Season 5 just kicked off, and you can catch Sam in that. He plays Aiden, and he's just a really talented guy and a super great guy. He's a Star Wars fan through and through. He showed me this lightsaber some fans made for him. It's an exact replica of the lightsaber that the Starkiller uses, and it has a blade you can attached to it, and it lights up and everything. This is not anything you could buy in the stores. This is a custom-made piece. It's awesome. He was taking pictures of it. I don't know if he's going to be posting any of that stuff on Facebook, but if you know how to get a hold of Sam on via social networking, hassle him to put up a few photos of that lightsaber, because a fan group made it for him. You could tell they spared no expense. They put a lot of love into it, and it's just a brilliant, brilliant piece.
You know, it's I was first introduced to Sam Smallville. He had a huge role in Smallville, season 8 of the show, of course, podcasting the show and knowing everything. Was blown away with his Emperor in the Force Unleashed video game. Like, I was just blown away. This cat that was Doomsday, basically, on Smallville, turns around and does this amazing Palpatine in The Force Unleashed. And then to know that he was going to come on and be Darth Maul, it was just... And then to know that he's a huge fan of this stuff is just so cool. And that's one of the fun things about being in this generation with a lot of these actors nowadays, is you find out that whereas the guys who were in it and a part of it and everything, they're used to it because they were in it. But those of us who weren't share something with these celebrities that you know grew up around the same time we did, and it's just so cool. He and Kyle Newman are two people I could listen to talk Star Wars again and again and again and again.
Yeah, well, they're both the real deal. Sam certainly is the real deal, and if you like the way he plays the Emperor, you're really going to like this project we were working on. Cool. Yeah, so it's good stuff, and that's about all I can say about that, but like I said, it's not going to be a long wait. It's just a couple weeks away, and what we were working on will become quite obvious. So it was great to see Sam. Great to catch up with him. You know, obviously he'd been shooting Being Human up in Montreal, and he lives in Los Angeles. And so we don't get across paths and see each other face to face all that often. So whenever we do, it's always a great time.
Always remember, I am fear. Always remember, I am hunter. Always remember, I am filth. Always remember, I am nothing. Have just one final test. Destroy your ties to the Jedi, and at last you will be a Sith Lord. We'll destroy the Sith and the Jedi.
Vader can't stop me now. Nothing can. Nothing can. Nothing can.
Sam Witwer, real deal Star Wars fan. And I got to spend some time in some arcades. I go to a local arcade that I really love called Galloping Ghost. It's on Ogden Avenue in Brookfield, Illinois, and not far from where I live. And they have some Star Wars games there. They have Star Wars Trilogy. They have the Return of the Jedi game. I found myself playing a lot of Qbert, though. I mean, when I say a lot of Qbert, I mean a lot of Qbert. It was I started hallucinating. I was playing so much of the game. A listener brought up to me, though, hey, you know what would be a good idea is if we reprogram Qbert so it's Yoda jumping around on those blocks.
Yeah.
That would be fun.
Well, I saw someone tweeted a picture of your high scores. I guess it was on Qbert.
Yeah, yeah. I ran up the whole machine. Every high score was mine.
It was all Mac.
That was my goal. It was like, well, I'm not going to stop playing, so I might as well get all the high scores. Let's just say Mountain Dew does wonders for video game stamina, okay?
As long as there have been video games, gamers have been drinking Mountain Dew.
Yeah, I don't think that's any revelation to anyone. But, yeah, we had a blast. And then I went to another arcade for a work function, and they had the full sit-down Pod Racer game.
Oh, wow.
You know, they had two of them. And so I played a lot of that. Now, that's a game I played when I went to Disney, because they have several units there. And Steve Sansweet has one in Rancho Obi-Wan. Okay. But I had no idea I had local access to a machine, so I'm thrilled now.
I was never good at the Pod Racer game, but now that Star Wars Trilogy game?
Yeah.
I tore that thing up.
Did you?
Yeah, you know, I loved it. And we'd go... when I was in college, we used to go every weekend, me and a buddy, and we'd get, you know, we'd just go get $5 out of the ATM, and he'd hit the NBA jams, and I would hit the Star Wars trilogy and play it till I beat it.
Yeah, Yeah.
Just always had a blast with it.
Well, that's a good thing about these arcades, is because it's unlimited play. So you can play the game all the way through to completion, no matter how good or bad you are, because you can always hit that yes button to continue.
Oh.
So that's what I enjoy. And that, so that's a good time. So, you know, I'm sure I did some other Star Wars junk over the holidays. We were releasing shows on a regular basis, which is something we've never done. We've always taken time off for the holidays. And unfortunately, like I said, because of Jason's work schedule last week, we couldn't release really anything new. We released a Best of Mark Hamill show, which was I was thrilled to release. And we had our year in review shows, which, of course, you know, we already talked about that. We're going to talk about that more later. We had some, we had a Rebel Force Radio stocking stuffer, which was a bunch of classic bits that have been produced for our podcast over the years by Clone Wars actors and musicians, and all kind of great stuff going on over here at Rebel Force Radio. Like I said, we got the Fangirls going rogue. Just released a new show from them today. Star Wars Influences with Paul Bateman. A lot of people really excited about Star Wars Oxygen. The music, John Williams, hosted by David Collins. Yes. Yeah, a lot of people are really excited about that. Yeah. Oh, and me. Yeah, I'm there too. But, I mean, David is, he really puts a lot of research behind this stuff. He really knows music theory and understands how to break down these classical pieces by John Williams. And he does so in such a crystal clear fashion. You know, when you listen to those NPR shows and they're talking about classical music, it can sound so pretentious and everything. But David just presents it to you like a dude, you know, and then he's got the keyboard right in front of him.
Yes, yes. Man, I have been loving Oxygen and Influences. I really have. And Oxygen has just been so much fun because I've got a friend that's really into music, and he's like, yeah, you know, you can tell Williams was influenced by this person, but we've never really sought out the pieces that George said, hey, I want it to sound like this. And to hear those things side by side and to hear David talk about that stuff so in depth has just been fascinating. And I can't wait, you know, when an episode's over, I'm like, oh, can we just get to the next one right now?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, it's so exciting for me. I mean, And I'm behind the mic with David, but every show is just presented revelation after revelation for me. I feel the same way. I'm excited about this. I know David is very excited about this, and that's a really fun show. So if you're into music, if you're into Star Wars music, you should be if you're listening to this show. Go check out Star Wars Oxygen. That's a real good one. So that's coming monthly on the Rebel Force Radio feed. And we're going to be doing more film commentaries with Sam Witwer. Sam was talking about it when he was in town a couple weeks ago. So he's just a busy guy. We'll work out his schedule, work out Jason's schedule, and we're hitting 2014 running. So it's a very exciting time. We got some new Rebel Force Radio t-shirts in stock. We are now fully stocked. All sizes are now in stock. We got the ladies cut V-necks in limited supply. We got these beautiful shirts. They're distressed looking. So if you're wondering, you know, oh my God, I got the shirt. It's flawed. It's kind of faded. It's sort of supposed to look that way. It's featuring the Rebel Force Radio logo by Star Wars artist and Rebel Force Radio podcaster Paul Bateman, and it's a great shirt. We cannot keep them in stock. I'm so happy you guys are loving this shirt and you're buying them by the cases. It's great. What I can't wait is to get out to the shows and to see people wearing them. And like I said, say it loud, say it proud. Visit shotglassdigital.com. Click on shop to order yours now. And do it now, because like I said, they're all in stock. Every size is in stock right now.
Even circus tent size?
Well, we go up to 3X, but Steve, I got to get you in a shirt. I want you to have a comfortable shirt to wear with your comfortable pants when you're watching your comfortable movie from your comfortable chair. So that's awesome. Also, something we talked about a little bit toward the end of 2013 was the Clone Wars Season 5 DVD Blu-ray sets, and how some people were noticing that there were audio sync issues with one of the discs in particular, the one that features the episode Lawless, a great Sam Witwer, Darth Maul story. You'll notice that there's occasional audio sync issues where words are coming out of mouths that aren't moving. and that could be very discouraging to someone who loves the Clone Wars and wants to see it in its most pristine fashion, high def on Blu-ray. So what you want to do, we got the word here from Warner Home Video. They heard us talking about it. We had been hearing some things behind the scene, but they reached out and they let us know that they have established an exchange program. All you have to do is call this number, 800-553-6937. That's 800-553-6937 to arrange shipment of a fixed, unflawed Blu-ray disc where you can watch these episodes in the way that they were intended to be watched. So that's what you want to do. Call that number, 800-553-6937, and they will set you up with that replacement disc, and it's painless. It's a painless process, though. They're very efficient in getting those discs out in the mail to you. So they don't want you to be upset. They want you to enjoy Clone Wars the way it's meant to be enjoyed, and that's with words coming out of mouths that are moving. Not too much to ask. So, Steve, the final update I have to do here before we get into our news headlines. There's some interesting news headlines this week, let me tell you. But I wanted to give everyone an update on my wife, Wendy. Wendy Snyder, you may have listened to her over the years on her show that we hosted together called Snide Remarks Radio. Snide Remarks Radio hasn't really been in production since the summertime, and there's a reason for that. Wendy has moved on in her radio career. She is now co-hosting a talk show on the venerable heritage Chicago radio talk station WGN AM 720. And she is holding down the fort with partner Bill Leff, a very good friend of our families, who Wendy and Bill have done a lot of radio in the past, and you know how the business goes. They got split up, and Bill found some work here, and Wendy found some work here, and it's been years, but now they're back together again doing what they do best, talking stuff. And it's all kind of good stuff. It's not like the political talk radio where they're just yelling at you and calling, you know, this side that and that side this. It's none of that. This is lifestyle stuff. This is entertainment focus. This is fun comedy, and it's happening every day on the radio from 9 a.m. till noon Central on WGN AM 720. You can listen to the live stream and podcasts anywhere in the world. Just visit WGN Radio and look for the Bill and Wendy Show. So that's kind of why she's been dedicating so much time to this new show and really being pulled in every different direction. It's been great for her. But unfortunately, it has sidetracked her podcasting career a little bit. I just want everyone to know, if you're a fan of Snide Remarks Radio, it will return. We're hoping to start knocking out some shows here in the next few weeks and getting that entertainment back to your iPods. Now, what does this have to do with Star Wars? Well, now that Wendy is hosting this big high-profile talk show every day, they have guests that might be of interest to us as Star Wars fans. And so I am using these as opportunities to try to get information for Rebel Force Radio. So, for example, she had Weird Al in the studio, and I said, why don't you ask Weird Al if he's going to write a new Star Wars song for the new sequel trilogy? And he basically just said, I don't know, maybe. It wasn't really good. It wasn't like audio worth replaying.
Yeah.
She had David Lynch's daughter in the studio. David Lynch's daughter, I got her name is escaping me right now, but she's a filmmaker in her own right. And if you read Renzler's Making of Return of the Jedi, you'll know that her father, David Lynch, was under consideration to be hired as director of Return of the Jedi.
David Lynch, director of Dune.
Director of Dune. You know him from TV's Twin Peaks, Eraserhead. He's done a lot of stuff. So I said, well, why don't you ask her if she knows anything about that? And she said, yeah, he did. He went out to Skywalker Ranch and just decided it wasn't the type of project he wanted to get involved in. It was too big. And I should dig up that audio and play that back because that was interesting. But just this week, Bill and Wendy had a couple of the stars of the TV show Chicago Fire in the studio. And you know how my mind works. I'm always trying to make a Star Wars connection. And I realized there is one. So I'm not going to spoil it. I'm just going to play the audio here, and you can hear what the connection is between the NBC hit show Chicago Fire and the wars.
In the studio with us, Charlie Barnett, who plays Peter Mills, Joe Manosso, who plays Joe Cruz, two of the stars of the hit NBC series Chicago Fire.
And the production crew, George Lucas's son, is involved.
Wow, Jeff, you guys got so much info. So mm-hmm. Yeah, Jet is. I mean, he's a great kid. Man.
I love Jet. And, Jet know, hangs out. Actually.
And he was the one who suggested you guys all carry lightsabers, which sounds silly because you're firefighters, but yeah. It makes
Season
sense.
Five, it does make sense. Ready. Do you know how easy it is to cut through a
Chicago
door
Fire
with a
space.
Lightsaber?
So I don't know if you knew that, Steve, but yep. Jet Lucas is on the production crew for Chicago Fire, and he's actually living here in Chicago working on that show.
Wow. It's cool. I didn't know that at all. I've not watched that show.
So if there's any opportunity I get to try to milk some Star Wars information out of Bill and Wendy's guests, you can count on it, and I'll bring that audio here to the show.
There you go.
So that's the Bill and Wendy Show, heard Monday through Friday on WGN AM 720 in Chicago. Listen to that live stream and podcast at WGNRadio.com for your Wendy fix.
I have good news for you, my lord.
That's good news.
Come closer, I have good news.
All right, news headlines.
Here we go.
Wow, there's been a lot of stuff going on. It's a thin line mm-hmm. lately between what is considered to be news and what is considered to be rumors.
Well, rumors are news these days. You know, everything, every article that comes out, every blog that's posted, it's all the news about all the rumors. And so news and rumors are, it's more than a thin line. It's a blurred line, if you will. And it's just, you should almost say news? Star Wars news with a question mark.
Yeah, really. Well, thanks, Robin Thicke, for the blurred line. blurred line. I'm sorry. Just stop twerking.
Don't worry.
Okay.
And when I twerk, people get hurt.
That is where people...
You start shaking that thing around, and it's dangerous.
So we have these rumors, and they're flying around fast and furious, and the one that's really got people talking lately is this piece that was... posted on the Hollywood Reporter, and it's all about Star Wars Episode 7 casting speculation. And there's been a lot of names being thrown out there over the course of the last few months. And we typically, like I said, we don't want to really shine the spotlight on each and every casting rumor that happens for Star Wars Episode 7 because, number one, it gets confusing, and number two, eventually it's all going to become very irrelevant. And I think sooner than later, it's going to become irrelevant. We, of course, have talked about names like Benedict Cumberbatch and Michael B. Jordan. I know we've talked about him on the show a little bit. Chiwetel Ejiofor, some of these actors have got to get some names that I can pronounce, too. That's another reason why I don't report all these rumors is because I can't pronounce the names. How do you say it, Steve?
I have no idea.
Chiwetel
Giacchino.
Ejiofor Giacchino. Oh, don't open that can of worms. Jack O'Connell, Alex Pettyfer, Sullivan Stapleton. These are names that have been associated with possibly joining the Episode 7 cast. But Hollywood Reporter is throwing a few more names into the mix. They got Michael Fassbender, Adam Driver, and Hugo Weaving. Hugo Weaving, of course, from Matrix and Lord of the Rings. Word is Hugo Weaving is being considered to play an Imperial commander. So, yes. Of course, the Photoshop pictures of Hugo Weaving with blue skin and red eyes playing Grand Admiral Thrawn have been making their way all over the internet.
I've not seen any of those, but when I saw his name, that's the first thing that popped in my mind.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. That's the type of casting we can get behind, I really think. Here's a new name being thrown out there is Jesse Plemons. Jesse played the freak Todd from Breaking Bad. Todd was about as bad a dude as he could be, but he was the type of dude who was so bad he smiled. He'll smile right in your face.
He smiled about it.
Did you watch Breaking Bad?
Yes, I did. He was so polite about his evilness.
Yeah, he was the most polite, evil guy in the history of television. But wow, Jesse Plemons in Star Wars. Very interesting. That's a really, really interesting rumor. Of course, casting has been kind of, I think there's been a lot of shifts going on here in the old casting department as J.J. Abrams and Lawrence Kasdan overhaul the script written by Michael Arndt for Star Wars Episode 7.
I've been disappointed to not see it sweep the internet that on a recent episode of Geek Out Loud, Brian Austin Green threw his name into the hat.
Well, we got to get that word out there.
Yeah, just hire Brian Austin Green.
You know, why shouldn't he at least come in for an audition or a meeting or something?
Exactly.
I could actually see Brian in a Star Wars film. I'm not just saying that. I could see that.
After some of his work with the Terminator and other things, I could totally see it.
Sure, sure. So why not consider him? Let's get the word out about that. Which episode of Geek Out Loud was that? That was your Christmas episode, wasn't it?
It was the Christmas episode. I believe it's 81. It definitely, Brian's a huge Star Wars fan, and we were just talking. I'm like, you know, Samuel L. Jackson just begged for a part, said he'd put on a Stormtrooper helmet. And Brian said, yeah, me too. That's how I feel. So he's a big Star Wars fan. There's been a Star Wars versus Lord of the Rings battle going on in his house ever since he's been with Megan Fox.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I'd throw down in that argument with Megan.
Yeah.
And I'll say whatever you say, dear.
Exactly. Well, I think he has.
But here's something that's really kind of interesting and kind of exciting and at the same time kind of puzzling. And it's this little bit of info here that just surfaced recently, and Hollywood Reporter is putting it out there, that perhaps Lucasfilm is searching for a 20-something female actress who is either of mixed race or black, the rumor being that Obi-Wan Kenobi had a daughter or granddaughter. And I got to tell you, I can verify, we here at Rebel Force Radio have been hearing the Obi-Wan Kenobi granddaughter rumor behind the scenes for a while. And we didn't report it on the show until Kyle said something about it during our year in review show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he threw it out there. And I don't think people took him seriously when he said it. But here you go. You have the Hollywood Reporter now putting it out there. And so what do you think about something like that, about having a daughter or granddaughter of Obi-Wan Kenobi roaming the galaxy?
I think it'd be interesting if she didn't know. And part of the story is her finding out. And then discovering how all this went down. I'm not keen on it based on the way that the Jedi Order was set up in the prequels. And, you know, we know that he had a love interest, Satine from the Clone Wars. We found that out. You know, not marrying doesn't mean celibate in the Jedi Order. I'm convinced of that. But so I think it would be interesting if this was someone who didn't really know her heritage. She knew that maybe she was strong in the Force for whatever reason. And part of the storyline is her discovering this heritage that she has, rather than just, yeah, this is Obi-Wan's granddaughter. Because then it seems like a stretch if there's no explanation.
I like that. I like that. And I'm remaining very open-minded about this myself. I think it's very easy to pass the baton from Han, Luke, and Leia to Luke's son or daughter and Han and Leia's sons and daughters. You know, I think that's just very easy. To bring in a twist and to expand the mythology of the character Obi-Wan Kenobi through an offspring of his seems to be very outside the box.
It is. It's out of the blue, and it would shatter. Yeah, it would do. It would be the one swift stroke that shatters, you know, everyone's hopes of any EU consistency, which I know we'll get to that in a minute. But, you know, I know there are a lot of holdouts hoping that they'll do some version of the Thrawn trilogy or even the Yuuzhan Vong storyline or something along those lines. The minute you start throwing the granddaughter of Kenobi around, though, there's nothing like that that's been done in any of it. So it's definitely an interesting take if it comes to fruition.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I mean, I'm not so quick to write that rumor off because, like I said, that's something that we've been hearing too. It's not anything that the Hollywood Reporter just pulled out of their butts. there's some substance to that. And whether or not it's actually going to be part of the episode 7 script or later episodes, that's going to be very interesting. And also we hear that the focus of the script for episode 7 has been more about featuring Luke, Han, and Leia.
Yeah.
The big three, if you will, to give them a proper send-off in episode 7 and then start focusing more and more on the next generation in episodes 8 and 9. And I like that idea. I'm very fond of that idea. Give our classic original trilogy characters center stage for one last big adventure. Don't have them standing back in the shadows and, not finding any sort of action or adventure. And well, what do you think about that? I mean, a lot of people talk about, Harrison Ford in Crystal Skull was kind of, I don't know. So can he do Han Solo and Mark Hamill and Carrie Fisher? They're so out of shape. And I hear a lot of this stuff, and I'm not saying that there's not anything behind that. I mean, those are legitimate concerns.
Well, I don't think they are. I think Harrison Ford in Crystal Skull was great. I think that Shia LaBeouf in Crystal Skull, not so much.
Ford,
I love that movie.
Did Harrison Ford ever use the bullwhip in Crystal Skull?
Mm.
Think about that for a second. I don't think he did.
Did he not?
No, I mean, that's no fault of Harrison.
He swung on the rafters in the big warehouse.
Ah, at the very beginning.
Yeah, yeah.
He did.
Here's the thing with the focus apparently shifting more to those original three, and honestly, I'm fine with it. It excites me on one level. On the other hand, when I sit back and think about it, I have to go over to another fandom of mine, and that's the Superman fandom. And Superman Returns was something back in 06 that I was just incredibly pumped for and excited for. I tried not to be, because of all the production hell that it went through leading up to it. And the more they showed and the more we found out, they're going to be using some of John Williams' original score, they're going to be doing this, it's going to tie into the original movies, I was just really super excited. And the more things I saw, the more excited I got. And then the movie happened, and basically they showed all the good stuff and all the previews and all the preview clips and everything. And what Bryan Singer did as a fan of the Richard Donner movies was basically just restructure the original Superman the movie. And in the only trepidation I have about them focusing more on the main three that we've known and loved from the original trilogy is I'd hate it if J.J. Abrams and Lawrence Kasdan went back and just kind of did a restructuring and almost a remaking of A New Hope, just in a different time frame, if that makes sense. I don't want to see the rehashing of Star Wars.
Right, right. You don't want to see Han and Luke have to rescue a captured Princess Leia from some Imperial stronghold.
Right.
And then go and destroy that very stronghold. You want to see something that's, again, we're looking for outside the box here.
Yeah, we're looking for fresh. We're looking for new. You know, you've got to, at this point, you'll have to have a Luke Skywalker in my mind who is a fully realized Jedi more than we'd ever seen him, even in Return of the Jedi. And I don't know where Princess Leia and Han Solo are. I fall in the camp of, I think it'll be interesting if they're not married, if Han Solo did kind of go off on his own way for a while and there's a little bit of tension between them as the crew comes back together, that sort of thing. I don't know. It's something I'm glad that these guys are going to have more front and center, but I hope it's not just kind of cookie cutter thrown together. I hope they're really going to do something interesting and fresh with it.
Absolutely. And I'm with you on the Han and Leia thing. You're going down a road that I like. As far as Luke Skywalker becoming a more powerful Jedi, though, I want to see a fresh take on the Jedi. I want there to be an acknowledgement by Luke Skywalker and any other Force user that has a sense of history. I want there to be an acknowledgement that the Jedi at the end of the prequels were flawed and they had it all wrong. And I want to see a fresh take on the modern Jedi Knight, the Jedi Knight of the future, one who does not necessarily ascribe to the monk-like existence that the Jedi were living in the temple. I want them, you know, to take it to a new level and bring more humanity into the Jedi order, because that's what I think was missing, and that's what I think eventually contributed to their downfall, was the fact that they were living on this completely other absurd plane when they could have been using their talents and skills and gifts and connection to the Force in a different way that might have been a little more proactive. They became victims of a system that they established themselves.
I think it's kind of a natural progression for Luke to go that route that you're talking about. I'm totally in line with you. And I think it's natural because the training that he'll receive beyond Return of the Jedi would come from Yoda and Obi-Wan and even an Anakin from beyond the grave. One of the saddest things to me about the expanded universe was that in the first real expanded universe book we got in Heir to the Empire, within the first chapter, Obi-Wan was gone. And Luke had no more connection to him through the Force. And I don't know, that's not immortality. You know, when they start talking in episode 3 in Revenge of the Sith about, you know, the path to immortality and maintaining your identity in the Force and that sort of thing, I really see these guys, you know, carrying on to help guide Luke, you know, through the spirit world, if you will, for lack of a better term. And I think that Obi-Wan and Yoda are going to be able to teach Luke from their understanding that they learned from Qui-Gon. Who Qui-Gon is the one guy who had it right. And the reason he kept butting heads with the Jedi Order is not because he thought they were bad or evil people, but because he didn't agree necessarily with the dogma that they'd set up for themselves and the system that they'd set up for themselves, trying to tap into the living Force, as he called it. And so I'm totally on board with that, a fresh take on the Jedi based on the history of the Jedi. And, you know, and with all the shifting away from the prequels and that sort of thing, I hope that they don't move forward and completely not acknowledge what was set up there in that type of stuff with the Jedi Order and other events that took place.
Now, something that they might avoid, though, is the expanded universe. And this has been getting a lot of traction online. And it all started when Lucasfilm's Keeper of the Holocron and member of the now infamous story team or story group. Leland had taken to the Twitter, and you know, that's going to just open up a whole can of worms. You're in trouble already once you start typing tweets. And I mean, when is the world going to figure that out? The quickest way to take yourself down is to start with 140 characters or less. And Leland, I'm not condemning anything Leland Chee did on Twitter, but it did create quite a bit of craziness, because I think a lot of what Leland tweeted online was misinterpreted. And here's what he had to say, and this was last week. Leland typed, Star Wars canon is now determined by the Lucasfilm Story Group, which Pablo Hidalgo and I are both part of. Story Group has a hand in all facets of Star Wars storytelling, including movies, TV, games, and publishing. More so than ever, the canon field will serve us internally simply for classification rather than setting hierarchy. And he says, getting one solid canon that has everything under its umbrella, from movies, TV, games, books, comics, having just one canon is the primary goal of the story group. So a lot of people, I think, misinterpreted what he was saying here. When I read that, I'm just like, well, it sure sounds like business as usual over at Lucasfilm.
Yeah.
And, you know, where the expanded universe up until this point has been considered its own canon. And occasionally it would be cherry-picked for certain ideas to include in what was assumed to be the legit canon, the G-level canon, the six films. And it's debatable whether or not the Clone Wars falls into that. I say it does. I say the Clone Wars is legit G-level canon.
Yep.
Now, so they want to get rid of that and just say everything is G-level canon, for lack of a better way of classifying it. But I saw a lot of people reacting online saying, This means the old expanded universe is going to be completely axed. And then on the other side of the coin, people were saying, no, this means that the expanded universe will be allowed into the legitimate canon. I think that both of those sentiments are wrong. I think that with the canon that has been established, this hierarchy, I don't think that that's going to be unplugged. I don't think they're going to take that away. I think that the EU canon will always remain the EU canon, and it will be cherry-picked for material for future Star Wars films and television, comic books, what have you.
Well, the first thing people need to realize is they can't take it away. If you have the books, if you have the comics that you enjoyed, you're going to have them. They can't take that away. They can't take the enjoyment you got from those stories away. They can't take the experience you had immersing yourself in this universe away. And just because they may say something's a part of continuity or not, it doesn't make it any less important to you or interesting to you or as fun to read for you or however you consumed it. I got a text from my co-host at Geek Out Loud, Derek, the other day, and this was the question. Opening up a volley of text. How do you feel about the EU no longer existing? I had not heard this news. I had not seen these tweets. And so I asked, is that a thing that has happened? And he said, yeah. And I said, how did I miss that? And he sent me a link to the article. And when I read it, I'm like, it doesn't seem to me like it doesn't look like they're destroying anything or saying nothing exists. It looks to me like they're just cleaning house a little bit. And you use the term cherry picking, and I think that's a close idea of what's happening here. They're setting up a definitive Star Wars timeline. No GU, no EU, no FU, whatever the case may be. It's, you know, it's SWU. It's the Star Wars universe. And I think that that's what this is all about, is saying here is, if you want a definitive timeline for the Star Wars universe from, let's just say, Phantom Menace through Episode 9, here it is, and here's what happened in the intervening years and all this stuff. And they've got so much to have to go through because of the way, especially early on in the 90s, the licensing of these expanded universe stories was handled. You know, it's just a cleaning up, and it's something that's never happened in another franchise before. Comic books just reset, you know, whether it's through a crisis or a civil war or a brand new day. Star Trek, you know, novels, they just kind of let them be what they were. And the only fan group I've ever really heard just kind of really, if I can use the term, bellyache about continuity and canon has been Star Wars fandom. When from the get-go, George Lucas said, you know, the books are the books, the movies are the movies, and the movies are what really happened and matters. And I'm like you, I consider the Clone Wars, you know, straight up, when the hierarchy was there, straight up G-level canon, because his fingerprints and his hands were on it, and he was an active part of the storytelling there. So I don't think anything's being scrapped, and as I say, I think people need to realize they can't take this away. No one's ever going to take away from me the moment I first saw Heir to the Empire on a bookshelf in a bookstore. And no one's going to take away from me the moments of reading it and just being completely enraptured in that whole trilogy. And the ensuing novels and comics that followed, no one's ever going to be able to take those things away from me and my enjoyment of them. And the fact as to whether or not they exist in the Star Wars universe, you know, that's when I have to step back as a big boy in the real world and say, well, none of it exists. So whatever they want to do with it is fine. And it's not going to affect how I've enjoyed it over the years.
Yeah, right. This isn't real life. This isn't legitimate history of the galaxy. This is it's all fiction. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we want to have it all together in a cohesive whole. And I think that was the original plan when Star Wars came back in the early 90s via novels like the Thrawn trilogy, via comics like Dark Empire. They wanted to keep together a solid, cohesive canon, but it just all sort of fell apart. And you mentioned George Lucas and how he sort of described it, and I actually have a piece of George giving his opinion on the levels of canon. This was recorded, I'd say about 4 years ago at Show West, a big trade event, and George was talked to by Collider.com, and this is what he had to say about canon.
We say that there's three pillars of Star Wars. One is the features and the films and what I do, comes from me. And then there's the licensing, which are the books and the comics and the things which come from a bunch of other people. And then there's the fans who make up their own stories and create their own Star Wars world. So those three versions of Star Wars are all out there, and they don't always mesh, but they always feed on each other.
Well, there you go. They don't always mesh, but they always feed on each other. And that's – it got to that point because these stories became – I mean, we just got oversaturated with Star Wars Expanded Universe stories. Well,
and that's the point I was going to make, especially with the novelizations of stuff and the way the novels went, because they tried to do a cohesive timeline of events with these novels. What you ended up getting is down the road, you end up starting to get Star Wars stories that did not look and feel like Star Wars because the characters that we knew from Star Wars were gone. Rather than just tell some fun adventures from this universe in, you know, in these novels and have a good time, we end up with Crucible, where the end of Crucible is, yeah, we're just going to retire. Sorry, spoiler alert. And then there's this idea that's always kind of bugged me and just kind of tickled the back of my mind. Why? Where are all the people shouting about the Marvel comics not being a part of the accepted canon? You know, everyone just kind of accepted that as the movies rolled out back in the 70s and 80s that things changed because they changed and the movies were the definitive place to go. And I've never heard anyone say, well, we have to squeeze the Marvel comics back into the EU. I've never seen an EU defender jump on the Marvel comics bandwagon. They just dismiss them.
However, that has been cherry-picked over the years. You bring in a character like Lumaya and or Luminara. What was her name? No, Luminara is the Jedi. Lumaya is the Sith woman. Darth woman.
Darth woman.
But I mean, she's a creation of Marvel Comics.
Right.
And the space station, the Tarkin, that's been introduced into the expanded universe as being some sort of legit canon. The thing is about these statements that Leland is making, and people are jumping to conclusion about them, and I think there's been a lot of misinformation out there about this kind of thing, and I actually put up a post on Facebook about a lot of the misinformation that's been happening is people are interpreting things, I believe, incorrectly. What Leland is saying is this. We're taking it all back to square one now. And should there be elements of the existing expanded universe incorporated into future Star Wars films, televisions, and other stories, then they will be. But I don't think that they're looking to turn things back in time and say, well, okay, Shadows of the Empire, that's canon. Heir to the Empire, that's canon. Mm-hmm. No, they're starting fresh. And they're saying everything moving forward will be part of one cohesive canon, and this crew that works for Lucasfilm is going to police that and make sure that it happens. I think it's a very noble idea, and I think we're turning the clock back to 1991 and the day the Thrawn trilogy was, the Heir to the Empire came out in bookstores. That was the plan then, and that's the plan now, to have one cohesive canon. I hope that the story group will be able to keep all that in check. I hope that the creative forces that are making Star Wars films will not be running into situations where they're being told, oh, you can't do that because a comic book came out 2 years ago that had this happen. Right. That's my biggest fear about this. And that's why this could potentially implode as it did previously. But what Leland's saying is that moving forward, everything is going to be one cohesive canon. And like I said, I appreciate the sentiment behind that. Whether or not that can actually become a reality 10 years from now, as we're seeing Star Wars films coming out every year, television series, animated series, comic books, novels, will they be able to keep all that under control? I think that there may have been lessons learned over the last 20 years about how to control canon, and I hope that those lessons will be, and the message from those lessons will be implemented as the story group works on and on. but I don't think that it's anything as absolute as some people have been saying online. Yeah. It doesn't mean this is going to be wiped out and abolished. It doesn't mean this is definitely going to be incorporated and kept. It's not that easy. I think what they're essentially doing is saying, hey, we're doing a reset here.
Wait a minute. Jim, are you telling me that people on the internet are overreacting?
Perhaps. And you know what? And I bet there's people listening to this show who are saying that about me. But knowing what I know, that's how I can sum it all up. And I wanted to go, you know, straight, you know, get the word straight from the horse's mouth. I contacted Leland, and we are fortunate enough to consider him as a regular listener to our podcast, to Rebel Force Radio. And he did, like, you know, he prays on Star Wars Oxygen. He says he loves that show and everything. But you know what he did? He politely declined a comment. And I can respect that. I can respect that because the story group has the purpose of the story group has been publicly revealed at places like Rebel Force Radio, at Star Wars Celebration Europe, at New York Comic Con. But, you know, I can't help but think that Leland might have been a little taken aback, shocked and surprised at the waves on the internet that his tweets started. And so, you know, I wish him well, and I request one thing from the story group moving forward. Very simply, keep Kitster canon. I wrote that to Leland. I wrote an email to him. I said, keep Kitster canon. And so I wanted to be, like, clever, you know? So I spelled canon with a K just to keep it all uniform.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, oh, wow, keep Kitster canon. That's so funny and clever. I'll share that with our Facebook audience. And then I got this feedback from loyal RFR listener Rich, who says, I like the sentiment, but Keep Kitster Canon does have a problematic acronym.
Indeed. I hate to say that I jumped right there to it, but I did.
KKK. Listen, the triple K's, of course, anyone who has an education above kindergarten would be naturally offended by that. So that's not the message I'm trying to get across here. Somebody reminded me that there was a Simpsons episode where Krusty the Clown had a what was it? It was a similar acronym, Krusty Christmas Carol or something. It was all K's, and I was like, oh, geez.
Well, you know, that happens. That happened before. I think at a ball game, someone misinterpreted a camera shot. When, you know, fans will sit up in the upper decks and they'll just hang over a giant K for every strikeout of a pitcher. And this was one particular, it might have been years ago with Nolan Ryan or Roger Clemens or someone like that who was going for some kind of record, and they were just hanging these things up. Well, they got to three in the game and it just kind of hung there for a little bit. And not good.
Oh my goodness. Well, you know, people are gonna think what people are gonna think, but keep Kitster canon. With a C. All right. big bombshell. I guess, you know, this was not a shocker or surprise to me. I saw this coming from a mile away. I think we all did.
Yep.
But Marvel Comics has reacquired the Star Wars license. And starting in 2015, you'll be getting your Star Wars comics from the Marvel Comic Group. And so that puts an end to the brilliant, sometimes brilliant, you know what? I would say a lot of times brilliant work that came from Dark Horse over the course of the past 24 years. Dark Horse acquired the Star Wars license back in the early 90s and published Dark Empire, which immediately went on to become a huge smash with Star Wars fans and comic book fans. And that just kicked off a great relationship for the better part of the last 2.5 decades, Dark Horse presenting Star Wars in the comic book format, which I think is a very pure format for Star Wars. It's a visual format, and that's what Star Wars is all about. And I've read pretty much every issue that has come from Dark Horse, and I'm sorry to see them go, but you know, with the fact that the Disney Corporation owns Marvel, it was just a matter of time. We all saw it coming.
It makes it makes perfect sense, and I think everyone expected this. In fact, I remember early on a lot of people asking questions about the Dark Horse license, and that was always kind of kept under wraps, and they did a good job of not saying, you know, until now, of not saying when those things would kind of come to a close. But you know, with the creative people at Marvel, I'm a comic book fan from way back, just in general, and I'm a Marvel kid from way back, and so you know, this it's one of these things that just feel right for Star Wars to be back under the Marvel umbrella. That's not to criticize anything Dark Horse has done. I loved things like the Crimson Empire. I loved Legacy. The first Legacy series I read most of and really super enjoyed it. They did a lot of work in the ancient times, like, you know, thousands of years before A New Hope and that sort of thing. And it was all super well received and well done, and had a real cohesive creative team working in the Star Wars branch for the most part. And so I feel like Dark Horse has carried the license well. And while there's a little bit of, you know, sadness to see that end for them, I know they're more sad than I am about it. It does. There's something right about Star Wars being back under the Marvel banner.
And I think there's been also a lot of ridiculous reaction to the news, assuming that the Marvel Comics license will be picking up from right where they left off and producing sometimes campy, sometimes absurd storylines. And I think that was more representative of the times.
Yeah, that was comics, a product of the time.
You know, it was a product of the times, exactly. And me and Paul Bateman go into this in a little more detail on Star Wars influences. But I just wanted to bring it up on this show, Steve, just to kind of get your reaction. And you did mention a couple of the story arcs or titles that you enjoyed, like Legacy, and I really think they did a great job with their adaptations of both the films and things like The Force Unleashed and Shadows of the Empire and the Thrawn trilogy. I thought that they hired some of the best people in the world to create Star Wars comic art that often replicated what you saw on the screen, and other times went off in other different directions and presented different perspectives from various artists on the Star Wars galaxy. And while I think in the last maybe 5 years they've been a little hit or miss with some of the stories they've been putting out there, you can't deny the quality has always been there from an artistic standpoint. I'm missing them already just hearing myself talk about this. But I'm having faith that Marvel will be able, you know, they're professionals over there. And Lord knows, Marvel attracts some of the greatest comic book talents in the world. And I expect to see the heritage of Star Wars comics and the quality of that heritage to continue as Marvel moves forward with the line starting next year.
Well, see, now you've got me thinking and wanting to speculate, who will they put on a Star Wars title? Not just what will they do with it, but who will they put at Marvel? What name? Will it be a Bendis or even Quesada maybe step back in and write a little bit? You know, who will Marvel get and stick on this thing?
Right. Those are some big names there. And is there a possibility that maybe some talent that has been working on Star Wars comics over the years cross the street and leave Dark Horse and go over to Marvel? Some of these artists, a lot of them are they're freelancers, you know. So there's nothing stopping someone who has a lot of quality experience creating Star Wars comics to just simply segue from Dark Horse to Marvel. I don't know how those contracts are all figured out, but you know. I think that the possibility remains. So it's going to be an interesting time. You know what I really love that Marvel did were those big giant treasury editions that were like, when you were a kid and you got one of those, it felt like you had a comic book that was 6 feet tall.
Yep.
You know, you could hide behind your comic book, you know, and it presented the panels really large. And I know Marvel hasn't done that for years and years, and I'm just being a nostalgic old dude, but you know, that's something that I think of when I think of what a fun experience it was to be getting those monthly Marvel comics in the 70s and 80s. It was a great part of my childhood. So while I'm sad to see Dark Horse go, I have a very special place in my heart for Marvel comics. And the Star Wars comics that Marvel produced in the 70s and 80s were gateways for me into other comics from the Marvel line. I didn't quite get that with Dark Horse. I didn't find that Star Wars comics were introducing me to other Dark Horse comics so much. But when I was a kid, obviously much more impressionable, had much more time on my hands, and let's face it, I was a kid. And comic books are for kids. You know, no matter how much we want to make them adult and appreciate them as adults, comic books have always been for kids. So that was a big part of my childhood, and I really enjoyed getting all those Marvel books and then learning more about the Marvel Universe via Star Wars. It was a gateway, like I said. So good times, good memories, and so welcome back to Star Wars Marvel Comics. All right. Oh, here's another one. Okay, so... So as the last couple weeks have unfolded, the first few weeks of 2014, like I said, there's been a lot of overreaction. There's been a lot of misinformation and some poor interpretation of what the facts are. What are the facts out there about the future of Star Wars? Here's a story that popped up. AMC Movie Talk. AMC Movie Talk is a... it's a video podcast, a YouTube program, if you will, and it's sponsored by the theater chain AMC, and oh gosh, I don't know who hosts it, but they were doing a marathon. They were, you know, they locked the studio doors and they weren't coming out. They were raising money for a cause like Make-A-Wish or something like that. I don't know. That doesn't matter. What the story is here is that. For a few hours, one of the guests on this movie talk marathon that AMC was doing was a guy named John Schnepp. And John is an industry professional who works on a show called
Metalocalypse.
Please say that again.
Metalocalypse. Is that still on?
I don't know. I don't know anything about Metalocalypse. I can't even say it.
It's an Adult Swim show.
Okay, very good. So, and there was also another show he did, the Venture Brothers.
Oh.
So this guy, he works in animation. He's connected to the industry. He knows a lot of people. And he stated that he knew for a fact. Here, as a matter of fact, you know what? Why should I even talk about it? Let's just play the audio from John Schnepp on AMC Movie Talk as he discusses the future of Star Wars standalone spin-off films.
Every 2 years, we'll get one new episode of the main Star Wars story. Then, in those in-between years, we're going to get Star Wars spin-off movies. So Star Wars one-shot movies. So in 2016, we're going to get a one-shot movie. And in 2018, we're going to get a one-shot movie. In 2020, we're going to get a one-shot movie.
I know they haven't announced it, but one of them is Boba Fett.
You think that's official?
It is. I know.
Really?
I know for a fact.
Heard it here.
You heard it
first.
Here, folks. It's official.
Sorry.
According to Josh Knapp, Boba Fett will be one of the movies.
I will never reveal my source, but it is the one written by Lawrence Kasdan.
All right. Well, number one, it's not official because this guy says so, and it doesn't reveal a source or anything. It's only official when it comes from Lucasfilm and is posted on StarWars.com. Boom. That's official. However, I don't discount the fact that this guy is thoroughly connected and he knows what he's talking about. As a matter of fact, he was so excited to reveal this news. He put down the beef fried rice he was shoving into his mouth. How anyone could eat on camera just so casually. I can't even when people come to see me and I'll like have my lunch, you know, like a sandwich from Subway or something. I can't take a bite out of it when someone's standing there talking to me. I always wait till they leave. I don't know. But so he put away his beef fried rice and he lays this info saying that one of the standalone films is a Boba Fett movie. That's not so, you know, far reaching. That's something that we've been speculating on a long time. It's something Kevin Smith was pining for during his evening at Star Wars Celebration 6, he brought up the fact that he would love to see a Boba Fett movie. We've heard filmmaker and Star Wars veteran Joe Johnson talk about how he wants to make a Boba Fett movie. And, of course, he's very connected to Boba Fett. He had a lot to do with the development of that armor and the artistic creation of it. Joe Johnston, it would be great to see him come back and direct a Boba Fett film. But the internet exploded with this news, and it all started from one story. I wish I could tell you who picked up on this, and then it just spread like wildfire. Everyone, you know, the internet echo chamber working overtime where everyone was reporting that this is going to be the first standalone spinoff film. And as you just heard in that audio right there, which unfortunately a lot of bloggers never took the time to actually go and listen to this interview. But here on Rebel Force Radio, we leave no stone unturned. And if someone is talking about he knows for a fact that a Boba Fett spinoff is happening, I'm going to go and actually hear it come out of his mouth. So there's no misinterpretation happening here. And you heard proof of it right there. He never said it's going to be the first spinoff film. I think the smart money on the first spinoff film is Han Solo. And I'll tell you why. Because I think a Han Solo spinoff film could be made on a cheaper budget. Mm-hmm. And you know, probably a production of that film could ramp up a lot faster than something with Boba Fett, where you would have to understand. For Boba Fett to do what Boba Fett does, it's going to require a lot of special effects.
And not only that, there's the whole idea of this full-scale Millennium Falcon being built. We've heard the rumors of that. Now, whether that's true or not, who knows? But you've already got this one set designed and ready to go. It would seem natural that they may do the first spinoff movie as a Han Solo flick. I'd be interested to see who they get to play a Han Solo, you know, if they don't go with Harrison Ford and if it's more of a flashback or a prequel sort of thing. I don't know what you call these spinoff films, but yeah, that makes sense to me. Maybe I'm the one person in the world who's not super keen for a Boba Fett film.
Really? Now, yeah. Why would that be?
Well, I've never been enraptured with Boba Fett the way a lot of fandom was. I always thought he looked cool, and it's a neat concept and a neat idea in the way that he's always been described. I love the descriptions of Boba Fett before Empire. I love the way he was always described, but I feel like sometimes when you peel the curtain back too much, you know, too much information may be too much information. You know, you think you want more, but when you really get more, do you really? Because look how many people gripe about seeing a young Boba Fett in Attack of the Clones. And then, of course, I loved what Daniel Logan did there, and I loved what they did with Boba Fett in the Clone Wars. But I don't know. What I would, if they did do a Boba Fett movie, I'd love it to be the story behind the line that Vader feeds him when he says, "No disintegrations."
Yes.
You know, what is this relationship? So to me, you can't have a Boba Fett film that's going to matter to me unless Vader's in it somewhere.
I just want to see Boba Fett disintegrate someone and go, whoops.
Yeah.
That's what I'm looking forward to.
By mistake.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, I will debut my impersonation of young Boba Fett as portrayed by Daniel Logan in Star Wars Episode II, Attack of the Clones. Here we go. I got to get in character. Dad, Tonwee's here. Thank you. Okay, now.
I hope Daniel listens to this. And here's
So Boba Fett spinoff happening. It's not official. It's not necessarily confirmed that it's going to be the first spinoff film, but we here at Rebel Force Radio believe that yeah, it is happening. So. Yeah. Very cool stuff. Now, you got your own show, Rebel Force Radio. All right, let's talk a little bit about our sponsor. We love Dork Side Toys. They're the greatest. They get the Star Wars action figures that you can't find swinging from the pegs. If you can even find Star Wars action figures swinging from the pegs, that is a special day. But you know what? Save yourself the gas. Save yourself the time. To me, I don't know about you, Steve, but time is money.
Time is money.
And gas ain't cheap either. So save yourself the hassle. Go to Dorkside Toys because they have some incredible deals going on. They have the new Marvel Legends in stock. And, of course, they're selling super fast, so you want to jump on that right away. The Star Wars Black Series from Hasbro with the Boba Fett, the 6-inch Boba Fett. That's an incredible figure. I just got that. Dorkside Toys. It showed up at my doorstep. I opened up the packaging. You know, carefully packaged with the bubble wrap, and it was all just in pristine, minter than mint condition when I took it out of there. It was just such excellent service, and there's so many great things on clearance. You can find crazy cheap action figures starting at $3.99, and I'm not talking about the old what's her name? The Jabba's dancer, Gargan, that you know you saw swinging onto pegs for about 3 years. No, we're talking about these brand new figures, Black Series, 3 3/4 inch figures, with prices starting at, like I said, $3.99. They're getting the Mission Series figures in. They're taking pre-orders for 6 inch Wave 3, and they have the older vintage. They have the Gentle Giant. They have the Jumbo Kenner. Those vintage Kenner action figures done in the 12-inch scale. I mean, it's amazing, all the great stuff they have there. Check out their Star Wars section online at DorksideToys.com. When you go, please stop off at ShotGlassDigital.com first when you're on your way there and click on the Dorkside Toys banner, and that'll take you right to the website. And that way they'll know that Rebel Force Radio listeners are supporting their awesome website, Dorkside Toys. They've been with us for a while. We love them. We want you to love them. Become a regular customer of Dorkside Toys. Just go to ShotGlassDigital.com, click on that Dorkside banner to order, and you will be a happy camper.
Rebel Force Radio.
You've already made that Star Wars reference.
All right, Star Wars and pop culture. We're running a little short on time, so I did want to talk about the Mythbusters show. I thought that was very interesting, especially the experiment they did. Can a human survive the night in a frozen tundra being placed into a Tauntaun's belly? It was actually a very compelling little experiment they did, and they also did a cool experiment to see if you can actually hook a grappling hook and swing across a chasm, and you know, while holding the princess and delivering her to safety. And they also smashed up some trucks with giant logs a la Ewok destruction. I appreciate that a lot. So you can catch that online. It's Mythbusters, their Star Wars special. It's I think they're rerunning it too, so just check your local listings, as they say. But here's one that I really want to get to. This comes from loyal Rebel Force Radio listener young Dave Filoni. Yeah, you know Dave. He's the supervising director of Star Wars The Clone Wars and executive producer of the upcoming Star Wars Rebels animated show. And Dave, like myself, big hockey fan. I mean, I shouldn't say like myself. When it comes to hockey fandom, I bow at the feet of Dave Filoni. I mean, Dave still plays competitive hockey. He's a goalie. He still plays. He still gets out on the ice with a bunch of guys and still, you know, take slap shots to the face, and you got to appreciate that. And Dave knows what a big hockey fan I am. I actually host a show called Blackhawk Talk, which is a part of the Shot Glass Digital Network, and I'm very loyal to my Chicago Blackhawks, and I love hockey, and we're right in the thick of hockey season. And Dave stumbled across a video online. The Blackhawks organization, they do a lot of videos. They have a great video team there, a great crew. And Dave asked me, did you see the Blackhawks holiday video? Patrick Kane was dressed as Anakin, I kid you not. Now, the great Patrick Kane, he's going to be playing for the United States in the upcoming Winter Olympics. And Patrick is having an incredible season, probably second only to Dave's favorite player on the Pittsburgh Penguins, Sidney Crosby. But Patrick Kane is a NHL superstar, no doubt about it. So it was very exciting and interesting to see him dressed up as the iconic Star Wars Jedi, Anakin Skywalker. What they were doing here, Steve, is the Blackhawks did, they took all their players and put them into movie roles.
Okay.
And it was, you can catch all this at the Blackhawks official site, ChicagoBlackhawks.com. And so, you know, they had, you know, like Jonathan Taves was the Wolverine and Patrick Sharp was Batman. And, you know, it just went on and on. They did parodies of Titanic and all kind of big films. But, you know, you can't do parodies of a bunch of famous films without including the wars. So you had Patrick Kane dressed as Anakin Skywalker. And you know, his acting chops in this, Steve, I got to admit, are a little bit suspect here. Check
it out. Not what you'd expect from a hockey player.
Exactly.
Share the gift of happiness this holiday season. Treat your loved ones to a selection from the Chicago Blackhawks Magical Movie Collection. There's something for everyone. Want more drama in your sci-fi? Patrick Kane's got it.
It's all Obi-Wan's fault. He's jealous. He's holding me back.
He's not really selling it. He's not really selling it.
Look, there are going to be some people who get in touch with you and say, he sounded just like Hayden Christensen.
Or he sounded better.
Yeah, yeah. But I got to be honest with you. I don't know anything about hockey, Jim.
Yeah.
Being in the South, that's not something we grew up with.
No. You didn't spend your winters out on the outdoor rink or anything? No. Uh-huh. I wouldn't expect that. But that's a great video. You can check that out at ChicagoBlackhawks.com. Just look for their holiday video. Very funny stuff.
Your source for the Force.
Star Wars parody!
You must contact me.
Play back the entire message.
What message?
Message, Doctor. The message.
The Emperor commands you to make contact with him. It's a trick. Send no reply.
All right, now, listener feedback. We got time for one letter, and this needs to be addressed. This comes from loyal Rebel Force Radio listener, Steve.
Not to be confused with me.
We'll call him Steven, then. So Steven writes to us on our Facebook page, actually posting this for the world to see.
Thanks, Steve.
Thanks. First, let me start off with the good. Absolutely loving the new show, Star Wars Influences, with the amazing Paul Bateman and Jimmy Mac McInerney, and also the incredible Star Wars Oxygen with the very talented David Collins. And again, Jimmy. So far, so good. Okay.
Yeah. I love it when people do this.
Yeah, and he said, let me start off with the good. You know it's going to go south. It's probably even going to go south of Georgia here, so just stay tuned. Mm. Let's continue. I have to say I was disgusted with the comments made by Kyle Newman on the two-part year-in-review show. I think that he should think before he spouts off about Lego. Think of this, Mr. Newman. If it wasn't for companies like Lego, the fan base for the new trilogy and the forthcoming Star Wars films would not have the buzz they do. Yes, the old school fans would be there, but the new blood wouldn't care. Just because you don't like what Lego have created with the games and sets with the Star Wars brand, I think they should be congratulated for bringing more people into the Star Wars sandbox. To say your thoughts are narrow-minded is an understatement.
Mm.
Lego is a huge brand and can only put more bums on seats for the movies to come. I have been a loyal listener from the days of blah, 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 and blah, blah, blah. Okay. As a dedicated listener, I feel you're wrong to slate not only the Lego, but the Family Guy specials too. And maybe you should think about the listeners and respect what's there. I would appreciate Jimmy Mack if you would read this and reply, as you ignored my last post about the overseas postage costs for your shirts. Well, you know, I mean, it is what it is. Okay. Again, I think it's a shame because your show has been improving. So that means we suck to begin with, and we've been getting better. No.
And you know what? You had me on.
Hey, listen, let me tell you something. Steve took the time to write this, and his opinion means a lot to me. Okay. And I fear that there was some, maybe a little bit of misinterpretation of what Kyle was trying to get across. And I think I brought that up. You know, I said, I think Kyle is making a statement about the way that the franchise has been mashed up and crossed over with other franchises, or in this case, toy lines. And I think it's fair to be upset about what Kyle said if you are someone who actually grew up with the Lego sets. Mm-hmm. I don't think Kyle was trying to, you know what? I don't want to talk for Kyle. Let's just call him up. Let's just get him on the line and let's hear his side of the story, because I think he's got a lot to say about this still. So I'm going to punch him up. How you doing, buddy?
Hey, Jimmy Mac. Good to be on here.
Well, it's good to have you back. Kyle, why is it that whenever we do a year-end review show, we ruffle some feathers?
Well, in my opinion, it's because, well, they're opinions. I mean, I threw my opinions out there, and I feel like I'm pretty knowledgeable about Star Wars and also the industry, so I can kind of see and feel why things happen. And I understand Steven's response. You know, first off, he's entitled to his opinion, you know, and he sounds like a passionate guy and loves the Star Wars. I respect that. And the fact that he wrote a letter and he was fired up, that's awesome. You know, this is a healthy debate, but it's also one I'm not going to back down from.
So what
you know,
is
my opinion?
What
my
is your stance?
More like a warning than anything else.
It's
you know,
a
if you
warning.
Want to play with Star Wars Transformers and pretend that has anything to do with the mythos and magic of Star Wars, be my guest. But Star Wars was on a precipice, and it was in danger of being licensed into obscurity. But I like what Hallmark, Gentle Giant, Dark Horse, Hasbro, Code of Ikea, Del Rey have been doing with the licenses. You see them, they're expanding the Star Wars stories. They're taking the rules, the parameters of what George has established, and they're doing something fun with it. And 5 years ago, at Lucasfilm, licensing was everything. They would have rather licensed off every single angle of Star Wars than fund the Clone Wars, if they could, because it means they can sit back and collect money. But George, his own involvement was the only thing that protected that show from spending money to create new material. Otherwise, we would have been faced with endless money grabs of just licensing, licensing, licensing. And things like Lego and stuff are okay, but I would much rather have the first product that a kid goes into the store to get not be muted, warped through another franchise, like Transformers Lego or Angry Birds. So, you know, things like Transformers Lego, especially Angry Birds, they don't further the myth or the story. They don't excite the imagination, in my opinion. They don't transport me to Star Wars. Nothing says Star Wars about it except that they made a pig look like Darth Vader. And that's very dangerous. They're superficial money grabs. And if a kid falls in love with Star Wars because of Angry Birds, then guess what? They didn't really fall in love with Star Wars. You know, Lego being the least of all these evils. And I like the Lego specials. I think they're fun. I do. But that can't be the only Star Wars out there. That's what's dangerous. There has to be new Star Wars films and television at the center of it, generated proper Star Wars. Then you can spiral it out and make this version of it and this version of it. But if you don't have that at the forefront of your franchise and then you license it to all these other things, look at what they did with Detours. And this is not just my opinion. This is Lucasfilm internally and Disney both saying that the first thing you can't have a kid see is a comedic version of Darth Vader. If that's the only thing that's out there in the marketplace, and I'm dying to see Detours, but I understand why they made that decision. So from a marketing and merchandising standpoint, if everything out there when you go into a Target is a bastardized version of Star Wars filtered through some other thing, then that's a dangerous, dangerous thing. So I can see why they pulled everything back, and now they're going to have a fresh slate. And at the forefront of it will be Episode 7 and Rebels. You need real material anchoring it. Then you can do all the parodies and spin-offs and licensing you want. But in that gap between Revenge of the Sith and 2012, it was just licensing after licensing. You weren't even seeing Clone Wars products after a certain point. And that was scary.
Now, here's the thing, though. What in particular about Lego makes it any different than another licensee? I'm talking about the Lego brick sets themselves. I'm not talking about the specials. The specials are being played for laughs and they're silly. Same thing with the video game. But the actual Lego brick sets themselves, to me, seem to be a good representation of a playset that can walk hand in hand with the films. They're not parodying Star Wars with the actual Lego sets themselves.
And it just, for me, it comes down to pure opinion. What excites me, and maybe I like slightly more literal representation of what's on screen. And I see too much Lego and not enough Star Wars. It all looks like the same little bumpy sets to me. It's like I have to squint to see the Millennium Falcon.
All right. Okay, I can understand.
There. Like it is if I see back in the day, they used to have these great models. And I'm almost like, well, wouldn't it be cool to build a model than a Lego? Because then you end up with the Millennium Falcon and not. But that's just me. That's my opinion. But that's the most important thing, Jimmy. I came on your show to give my opinion. And Steven to tell his opinion. And that's just what we are as Star Wars fans. But I'm backing it up by saying that if you only have licensed merchandise and your franchise at its core is not making new material, which Star Wars was in danger of becoming, it was coasting on fumes. That is very dangerous. And so as a fan, and also somebody who's kind of savvy and knows that some of this stuff works, it was a dangerous downward spiral for the future of it. And we were looking at a dark time like back in 87 to 92 where it was grim. And that's where it was going to go off to. They were going to just make their money off licensing, the people that were running Lucasfilm at the time. And they didn't care about new product on the screen. George did. But George isn't the only person up for making decisions. I love that Howard Rothman is back. But there are people above that that I think would have rather just licensed it off than even make the Clone Wars. And that's just my opinion. I don't know. I mean, that's what it felt like.
Well, you know what? To play devil's advocate, here, to present a counterpoint, the Star Wars Lego licensee has been around since the prequel era, so it did work concurrently with Star Wars films being in the theater.
Sure, but everything becomes much more magnified when there is no movie and when the show is going off the air and you're not sure what's going to happen. You're in this vacuum. So all the things like, and these are all deals made pre the Disney deal, Angry Birds, Transformers, extension of Lego. And I'm great. If a kid's going to go into a store, I'd rather them buy a Star Wars Lego over Star Wars anything else. And I'd rather them buy Star Wars anything over any other brand, just because I think it's a great world and you'd want a kid to get exposed to Star Wars. But if the product isn't capturing the spirit, the myth, the character, the adventure, and it's just taking a product and slapping a face on it, like I don't feel like Angry Birds has anything to do with Star Wars. I don't think that captures the magic.
No, I don't at all.
Star Wars helmets on pigs, and they call it licensing. Okay, but that cannot be the centerpiece. In 2012, before that announcement, that was the biggest thing on the map for Star Wars, and that was scary to me.
Yeah. Well, you know, it just seems like perhaps Lego is in your crosshairs because it represents what could be the most popular bit of licensing that is something of a crossover. It's cross, you know, the Star Wars license crosses over into Lego, so it becomes something else in your opinion. I have to be a little bit more sensitive because I understand there's a whole generation of Star Wars fans who have been brought up on Lego, and my sons are an example of that. I don't connect with it either. And for me, the Lego video games and the Lego television specials are more of a bastardization of the franchise than the actual Lego brick building sets themselves. Those sets to me feel a little bit more on the mark, while the Lego video games and television specials parody and make a mockery of the franchise from time to time. And that's a crossover that I'm growing a little bit tired of. You brought up the Family Guy thing during your I'm not even going to call it a rant. I mean, you were just a guy talking about how you feel. You were giving an honest opinion, and I appreciate that. But the Family Guy also came into your crosshairs, and
rightly so. That did not embody, at its core, you can make fun of Star Wars. But I think if you're going to do a parody and they're going to license it, you have to embrace some of the things that make Star Wars great. And you can make fun of it, but you weren't capturing any of the spirit. It was just to mock it. I don't know. There's a couple of funny bits in it, but overall I felt something mean about it. And I expect more, maybe.
Well, my biggest problem with the Family Guy special, and you brought this up during our year in review show, is the fact that they take a venerable and iconic fictional character, Obi-Wan Kenobi, somebody who embodies the core of Star Wars, in our opinion, as old school fans, and they portray him as a pedophile. And if you ask me, there's a special place in hell for people who prey on children, and I have no room in my comedic repertoire for any sort of humor that laughs that kind of behavior off. And to apply that sort of persona to Obi-Wan Kenobi is a huge crime. And
it doesn't, it's not in conjunction with the values of Star Wars. And there's a major disconnect when you license something out and it's at least not in the same value category. And while I like a lot of Seth MacFarlane stuff, I think he's hilarious, obviously, incredibly talented. To me, in my opinion, that was a miss. And what I'm looking at this as a Star Wars fan in a macro perspective about how a brand is managed. And look, we're backseat drivers here. We're just talking about it. We're not changing it. We're not making decisions. We're just talking about it as fans. And Steven's writing back as a fan saying he likes it. I'm just saying it from the big, big perspective. And not, I didn't mean to go right into Legos, because Legos is the least of our worries. I like Lego. All my brothers are Lego obsessed. I grew up with Legos in the house. I have nothing. My nephew is a Star Wars fanatic, and he loves Legos. My nephews on the other side are Star Wars fanatics, and they love Legos. And that's great if that's what brings them into Star Wars. But I want Star Wars to bring them to Star Wars. So I'm just worried when you have too much licensed product and it becomes a dilution of what a character is. Who is Darth Vader? Is he that little pig face? Is he a Family Guy character? Is he a little yellow Lego man? Let's make sure at the core we've condensed it into the purest thing. It's still Darth Vader coming through in all these things. And the magic of that character or the myth of that character and the spirit of Star Wars comes through the licensed product, or don't license it. Otherwise, to me, it's a money grab, and I'm fine saying that, you know? And I think you're looking at Disney or Kathleen Kennedy and Lucasfilm, the decisions they've made after the sale, and they probably made similar decisions. Would an Angry Birds deal have been made after Disney acquired it? I don't know. Yeah. Look at the Marvel reverting back to, you know, the brand reverting back to Marvel as opposed to Dark Horse, so they can manage it with care. Maybe there's going to be this condensing of the stories that are out there. Maybe there won't be as much EU. Maybe they're going to manage it and tie it all together. Maybe they're going to be a little more precious about it. Maybe there won't be as many books out. So there are these decisions being made differently because people know that the future of Star Wars isn't about licensing. It's about new content, high-quality new content at the center. And then when that works, you can pick and choose how you license it in clever and smart ways rather than taking everybody that comes to you that wants to turn their product into a Star Wars. Right. And Lego has been around forever. Lego, maybe I unfairly maligned Lego. It's done a very good job. It's classy. I just don't want that to be the dominant product when I walk into a store with my new son and not seeing Hasbro figures and I'm only seeing Lego and Angry Birds. That's what scares me.
There you go. So we got to take it back. Take it back.
But, you know, we should both be thankful that there is a haven like Rebel Force Radio for fans like Steven and myself to share our opinion. That's the bottom line. Well, I'm settled in my opinion, and perhaps you should rethink his view of what the show is. You know, don't leave the show. Don't stop listening to it, but embrace it for what it is. It's different opinions. You know, we should be thankful we have a forum like this to begin with as fans, because you guys bring people together. We listen. I learn stuff every time I listen to your show. I don't agree with every person that comes on your show, but I'm always, you know, sparked to think about it. And that's great about it.
If anything, it's a celebration of the diversification of Star Wars fandom. And there's plenty to go around. And Kyle, I think you've gotten your point across here. I think I know exactly where you're coming from, and it's what I said last week. I think it's just the whole crossover mentality that's been going on here, where it's this desire by the franchise to meld itself to other existing franchises instead of just moving ahead forward on its own.
Because Star Wars is the pinnacle. It's the top franchise. That's it. And if anybody can carve their little franchise and get a piece of Star Wars and brand it, that's big, big time for them. You know what I mean? You're legitimatizing your little thing in an even bigger way. And I just wish Star Wars was precious and protective about it and more judicious about how they license it out. I love Hallmark ornaments, but I can look at an ornament and I feel like that's a shot from the movie. It's a moment from the movie, you know? And they have fun with it, but it's still true to what the movie is and what those characters are. So when things steer too far away, that's to me when I get worried. And that's all I was saying. Maybe I'm just like the Jacob Marley coming to warn everybody.
Boy, I'm glad. I'm glad podcasting didn't exist back in 1982 when they released the Star Wars Play-Doh set. My God, did you ever own the Play-Doh? Did you ever have that?
Oh yeah. Oh my God, I had that, and I had Colorforms.
Colorforms are awesome. God, I love
Colorforms. I had all the versions of the board games. I had the Sarlacc board game, the Sarlacc Pit one, where you're on the barge and you're over the pit and it's three-dimensional. I mean, I love all that stuff. I love Star Wars Monopoly. Star Wars, I'll play Trivial Pursuit. I like when things are crossed over. I do. But I think it has to be done in saturation in conjunction when there is a centerpiece, like a movie or an event, and then it's okay to do it.
And also before we wrap up, I do want to say that I don't think in any way, shape, or form you or me are condemning any Star Wars fan for enjoying a bit of the franchise in their own way.
Not at all. And what I'm condemning is, it's not even condemning, it's just a warning. We as fans should be aware. If we get to a point, maybe after this cycle of new movies, all we start seeing is Star Wars licensed into every other thing that's out there, and it's Star Wars Barbie now, and it's Star Wars this, but there's no new Star Wars, then we've got to be wary. Because that means that they're done making product, and all they're trying to do is let everyone else take a piece of the pie, and they can sit back and collect checks.
Well said.
And that's just policing what they do and the decisions.
There you go.
That said, Lucasfilm is a super classy company, and I love everything that they put out. You know, it's just, it got to a point where I was like, if it keeps going this way, we're in a tricky place. Will it come back from that? Is it saturated to the point where it doesn't feel unique? What is the identity of the brand at that point? Because you've splintered all these cruxes of its soul off into these other little things. What's left of it?
Well said.
So that's all I'm thinking about. So that's just to clarify what I was saying there, Steven. Respect your opinion. Of course, I want Lego to be stopped, made, or taken off the shelves. I have family members and loved ones that love Lego. It brings them great joy. That's awesome. Personally, it's not for me. If I walk into a store and there's a Millennium Falcon or a Lego Millennium Falcon, it's a no-brainer. I want the real deal. But someone else might want the Lego. Cool. But there better be the option of the centerpiece 3¾ line at the core of our merchandising experience.
Well, I certainly hope so. But, you know, a lot of kids have grown up on Lego, and I don't see any shelf space going away for Lego.
There's a movie coming out. It's its own thing. And I was debating that with Jason. He's like, well, Lego's not its own thing. I'm like, it is its own thing.
It is its own thing. It is. I agree with you there. I really felt that the first time I saw – sorry, Kyle. I really felt that the first time I saw the Star Wars Lego video game, or I'm sorry, Lego Star Wars. We get corrected on that a lot. But when I saw that, my sons were playing it, and Chewbacca punched 3PO in the stomach, and a thing fell apart into a million pieces. I said, oh, my God, I cannot watch this. So, I mean, there's obvious liberties being taken, and my biggest fear is that kids will only be exposed to that and just think Star Wars is a big slapsticky Three Stooges kind of thing, and they will not embrace the mythology and the deep thought that goes behind the franchise.
If that is not a part of it, that's what's scary to me.
That is scary.
You can do it and you can have fun with it, but you have to bring it back at least to the values and the myths and the magic of Star Wars. Otherwise, it's cosmetic, it's superficial, it's shit, dancing game. Where all of a sudden, you're like, oh, how is it? Lando dancing and Obi-Wan dancing and Han Solo. What was that dancing game?
That was a Star Wars Kinect. That went over like a Led Zeppelin, so.
That's not connect with anyone, but that's what I'm talking about.
I got you.
It could have been any character. They just skinned it with a Star Wars character and made a few bucks.
Yeah, yeah. That was unfortunate. But
I don't see that. No one should want that to be the standard level of what we get as consumers of a franchise we love. We want the best. So as long as we're all fighting for what we think is the best, that's great. But I'm saying keep in the back of your mind that there is a dangerous threshold, and we were about to cross it a few years ago. Until that company was sold and there was a upper management shakeup, we got some really talented, smart people in there, and they brought some good people back, and I think they're on the right track now, and that's what's exciting to me. So yep. It's almost a moot point. We're moving in the right direction now. And I think we're going to see less and less of that stuff because the brand is healthy, vibrant, and there's a whole bunch of directions it can grow into.
All right, so there's your rebuttal from Kyle Newman himself. Kyle, director of Barely Lethal, coming out fall 2014. You're hard at work editing right now?
Oh, yes.
Good.
Yes,
well, yes, it's very exciting. So thank you for taking your time away from your busy schedule and your beautiful family to join us on Rebel Force Radio, and we look forward to talking to you a lot in 2014.
Always my pleasure, Jay. Thank you.
All right, my friend. I'll talk to you later. So there you go, Steve. I don't think Kyle is necessarily attacking anyone for liking Star Wars Lego. I think he's just looking for Star Wars to come back more toward the core and try to shine the spotlight on what makes the mythology most important. And to Kyle, the mythology is of paramount importance. And he thinks that maybe it might be getting a little trivialized by the over-licensing. Or maybe sometimes, in the case of Angry Birds, I got to agree with Kyle. I think that it's a little irresponsible to kind of sell out Star Wars in such a way.
Well, I think what's irresponsible about the Angry Birds thing is the fact that the toy shelves are being filled up with it. Lego, to me, has never been a problem. I always thought it was cool. I never had really the money to collect the Legos or get into them. And I see, you know, Kyle has a way of expressing his opinion that while he means what he's saying, there's also a tongue firmly implanted in his cheek sometimes. And I just want to say to Steve, for the sake of Steve's everywhere, calm down, because you don't want to put this stuff out there publicly as a Steve, because I'm a Steve, and we Steves need to make sure our Steve name maintains a good status.
All right. I don't think that any statement that Steve made on our Facebook page reflects back on you, Steve Lawson. And like I don't think that Kyle was necessarily condemning all Star Wars Lego fans. I think he was just kind of voicing a concern about the way that the licensing has just been kind of running amok, if you will, over the course of the last few years. And we're talking about a franchise that has been licensed to death. I mean, just about every product in the world has a Star Wars logo on it, no matter what it is. So
the only franchise that's been licensed more than Star Wars is Kiss.
That's very interesting. You know, I was watching Toy Hunter, and Gene Simmons was featured on it, and they
couldn't find anything that he didn't have.
They couldn't. I mean, Gene has been a hardcore Kiss collector over the years, but there's a few things that have slipped through his fingers. And they go to Gene's house, and, you know, you want to talk about my Star Wars room.
Oh,
Gene Simmons, I mean, it's a Kiss museum. It's ridiculously cool the way he has everything on display, and he owns everything. So yeah. Kiss is they have their own coffin. Okay, I don't think we're going to be seeing any Star Wars coffins anytime soon. God forbid we do. Maybe a Star Wars funeral pyre. You know, if cremation's your thing. All right, here. You know what? I know we're running late, but I want to do this. Listener JF, he sent us this list a little while ago when we were talking about potential titles we would like to see applied to Star Wars Episode 7. I brought up the title Balance of the Force. I thought that would have been a great title for Star Wars Episode 1, and that was a rumored title back in the production stages of that film in the mid-90s. But here we have listener JF. Loyal RFR listener JF, and he has put together a list of titles that he thinks could be applied to future Star Wars films. So, Steve, let's breeze through this list, and then we're going to breeze on out of here. I'm gonna take one, then you're going to take one, and so on and so forth. You ready to rock?
I'm ready.
Here we go. Emergence of the Force.
Emergence of a New Empire.
The Sith Awakens.
A Dark Lord Awakens.
A New Darth Awakens.
A Darkness Awakens.
I'll one-up you on that one.
Okay.
An Invisible Threat Awakens.
Isn't that kind of the Phantom Menace? Dark Force Awakens. A lot of waking up going on in JF's mind.
Dark Power Rising.
The Rising of a New Dawn.
The Rise of a New Threat.
Threat Against the Jedi.
Now, see, this is kind of like a game where, like, you know, the last word becomes the first word. And,
yeah.
So we're Threat Against the Jedi. Perils of the Jedi.
Rise of a Dark Lord.
Rising Above Darkness.
Escape from the Sith.
Escape from a New Threat.
Escape from a Dark Force.
All right, now we're starting to see mismatching. And all right, okay. Perils Among the Jedi.
In the Midst of a New Dawn. Parentheses, Rise.
Rise. The Force in Peril.
Star Systems in Peril.
Invaders of the Force. Ooh, I like that.
Rise of a New Republic.
Victory of the Force.
I feel like that'd be a good Episode 9 title.
Rise of a New Republic?
No, Victory of the Force.
Victory of the Force. Yeah, mm-hmm. Could be.
A Faraway Force.
The Force Within the Jedi.
Assault on the Force.
Gathering of the Force, in parentheses, Jedi.
Power of the Sith.
The Surrounding Force.
Destroyers of the Force.
And the final one, the Force Forever.
And ever, and ever, and ever, and ever.
What a great show. Thank you so much, Steve Glosson, for joining me this week. Jason will be back, but I got to tell you, Steve, I love it when you come to visit us here at Rebel Force Radio.
I love it when you invite me to come visit, and I'm always open and glad to come, man. I have a blast talking Star Wars with either of you guys.
And so what's going on now with Geek Out Loud and Know What I'm Saying?
Geek Out Loud and Know What I'm Saying are proud parts of the old Shot Glass Digital network. And Geek Out Loud, we just had our Christmas episode back before the new year. We've got some more stuff coming this month. Later on this month, James Arnold Taylor will be on with us to talk, not just, I'm sure we'll mention some Clone Wars stuff, but I'm going to try to get him to open up a little bit about his role in Hulk and the Agents of Smash. Know What I'm Saying is a fun show with me and my friend Carl, who I actually met at Star Wars Celebration 6. And you'll hear us talk about everything from Star Wars to breakfast cereals to our dating lives. It's a Seinfeldian show in that it is about nothing, but we try to have a good time while we're at it.
So you talk about breakfast cereal and your dating lives.
Yeah, yeah.
Something tells me you're talking more about breakfast cereal.
Well, I'm going to tell you this. Breakfast cereal is more exciting than my dating.
And how can people get a hold of you, Steve?
They can hit me up at the Twitter, twitter.com/Steve Glosson, at Steve Glosson on the Twitter.
Very good. That's awesome. If you want to get a hold of us, email us at show@rebelforceradio.com. Our voicemail is 708-320-1737 or 708-320-1RFR. Reach us on the Twitter at Rebel Force Radio, Jimmy Mac Radio, Jason Swank. Check us out on Facebook. That's where it's all happening. You know, guys like our listener Steve, that's where he wanted to let his voice be heard. He wanted to argue with a point that was brought up on the show. And you know what? We're open to that. We want to hear your opinions. We're all Star Wars fans here. We're all talking the same language. We're all very passionate about these stories. And why should we always be getting the platform to talk about our opinions? You guys have a platform too, and that's on Facebook.
Yeah.
Also, be sure to subscribe and review the show on iTunes. If you review our show on iTunes, remember to
make it good.
Oh, Steve, that was good. That was good.
Thank you.
Very interesting to be on the other side of that. And, of course, our official website is rebelforceradio.com. We're proud members of the Shot Glass Digital family. You can find Steve's podcast there. We have tons of great stuff. James Bond, the Bondcast, shows about Tron. All of our friends are there, and that's where we want you to hang, and that's where you can find all of our programming. We're going to be adding more programming as the year 2014 marches on. Be sure to listen to Rebel Force Radio every Saturday night at 7 p.m. Eastern at srsounds.com. That's Sorcerer Radio, Disney Talk, Disney Music, and, of course, as Star Wars is proud members of the Disney family, we're talking the wars on Sorcerer Radio Show. And also they have a Marvel show that comes on right after us on Saturday night, too. So you get your Disney music, you get the wars, and then you get the Marvel. You can't go wrong. That's Saturday nights, srsounds.com. And don't forget to get your Rebel Force Radio t-shirt at shotglassdigital.com. Just click on shop, and all sizes are available for you. So get it now. Say it loud. Say it proud. Awesome, Steve. That was such a good time. Loved getting caught up with you. Perfect way to kick off my Star Wars year of 2014. And also, thanks to Kyle Newman. Kyle weighing in there, passionate and outspoken as always. We love you, Kyle. His movie, Barely Lethal, watch for that in theaters coming fall 2014. And big thanks to our sponsors, Dorkside Toys. Go to shotglassdigital.com, click on the Dorkside Toys banner, and you are there. Go nuts. So show your support for our sponsors, please. Of course, we'll be back next week. Jason Swank should be fully healed, back in the saddle, and ready to discuss all things Star Wars with you, me, Steve, and the universe. So, for Rebel Force Radio, I'm Jimmy Mack.
I'm Steve Glosson.
And remember,
the Force will be with you always.